I'm sorry. Thank you, Elizabeth. I failed to mention I was supposed to announce these specials as they're ready for us every other week through this year. We'll have an instrumental special alternating again Sunday morning, Sunday night for our year of singing and music. And they know that if I forget to announce this, go ahead and play anyway. But Elizabeth did a great job there. And thank you, ladies, for providing that good music for us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. So you're in the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read one verse for sake of time. And I want you to keep your Bible open because we will look down through this passage. And this is so elementary and so simple, but it is absolutely the perfect message, I think, as far as simple-wise, for time change Sunday morning. Everybody seems to be always, you know, time change, we're not used to this right now. It'll be better, and I like the daylight at the end of the day. That's a blessing. So I didn't want anything heavy this morning. I want something encouraging and helpful, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. It's very light and very, very simple to follow, and I think the potential, I believe, to be a help to every person in the auditorium, okay? Everybody, this is wherever you, whatever age you are, wherever you are in your salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ, it has the potential to be a help to every person. Let's stand, please, and honor God's Word. Verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 4. I'll read it for us. Just follow along silently as I read. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So let's pray together and we'll get into this. Dear Father, I pray that You'll please help me today. I want to be a blessing, an encouragement. Lord, hopefully impart some information that will be helpful to people today. God, please bless all of us. May our spirit, may our heart be in tune with You. Now, Lord, I know David prayed, open thou mine eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray that You'd do that. And then, Lord, we'll have to have an open heart ourselves. We'll have to come with a tender heart, ready to receive Your word. May the Holy Spirit have opportunity to work on us today. And we'll thank You in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, BC. this morning. I was thrilled to look out a little bit ago and see Zach Sullivan sitting back there with his dad and mom. I'm so thankful that he's here this morning and still recuperating from the eye injury, and so I want to be sure and remember him as we have these past weeks, and thankfully he didn't lose that eye, but still is impaired in his vision a little bit, but I'm glad Zach is here this morning. All right, I want to speak on this subject for a few moments today. It is written. You'll see this when we get into the passage here in just a moment. You got your Bible open to Matthew 4, and I want to speak on the subject, it is written. So let's pray together before we get into the message. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the blood of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be challenged to do as the song we just heard said. Help us to claim those precious blood stains. Thank you for the Lord Jesus who gave his life so that we might be saved. And Lord, so much help throughout life. God, would you please take this message today like a carpenter would take a tool out of his pouch and use it. God, please, I pray that when it's all said and done, you'll get honor and glory to yourself, that people will be encouraged, blessed, helped, that God, you'd have your will and way in this service. That's my prayer, and it has to be used to that end. In Christ's name, and amen. We are reading from the passage here that is the story of Jesus being tempted by the devil. Now, that's why I said at the beginning there that I believe the message today is applicable to every person in this room. Every child of God is going to face temptation. I bet if we took a moment this morning, we could think back over the last 7 days since we met here last Sunday, and people could stand and give testimony about how you in some way faced temptation this week. We could probably give testimony as to how we overcame temptation. We might have to give testimony as how the temptation got the best of us, because it does, and no person is exempt from that during their Christian life. So I want to talk a little bit about this matter of Jesus being tempted today. I'm not going to preach these points, but I want to just bring out a few things from the passage. I want you to notice, first of all, that Jesus was alone. The Bible says he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. So he was all by himself. And a lot of temptations come to us when we are alone. Now, God said it wasn't good for man to be alone. And the truth of the matter is, it's not healthy for anybody to be alone. In one of our messages on the Christian home, we talked about how that God says he takes the solitary and places them in families. All right? Because it's not good to be alone. Some people, just because of life's circumstances, are situations where you are alone. Some of you folks live alone in homes by yourselves. Your spouse, husband and wife, has been gone for some years. And some of you are not yet married, maybe still living by yourself, or you've chosen to live out on your own as a college-age student or whatever. But, you know, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. A lot of temptation takes place when we are alone. I heard a story one time, Mike Ray, who pastors our good priest here a few years ago, was my roommate up at the college, and he was preaching at a conference, and he asked another preacher who was there, said, can I ask you a few questions? Could I come to your motel room and ask you a few questions? And the man said, yes, I would share some time with you. So at the point of time, or he just said, come by. He didn't give it a point of time. That was the interesting thing. He didn't give it a point of time. He just said, come by sometime in the afternoon, and I'll visit with you. And so Brother Ray did what he had to do for lunch and took care of some things he had to take care of. And he went to the man's room in the afternoon, just random time, knocked on the door. And the man said, come in, went to the motel door, opened, said, come in. And Brother Ray entered, and he saw that over here on top of the television was a picture of the man's wife. And next to the man's wife was a picture of their children. And over here was a picture of his one married child at that time and hit her husband. And over here was another picture of his family. And over here was, he had set pictures of his family all over the place in that motel room. That's very, very wise. Brother Ray was impressed by that. And it was Dr. Jack Treber from North Valley Baptist Church out in Santa Clara, California. There's a reason why a man has a good name. When you're alone, it's dangerous. Some of you men travel. I travel from time to time. And you know what? Maybe you get into a motel room where you're alone by yourself at night, which is what a man ought to be when he's away from his family. He's not with a business partner. Who's another man? All right. We live in a crazy world today. And fellas, when you're alone, you got to be on guard. You've got to be on guard. So a lot of temptation. I could preach a whole message on that this morning, but I want to get on to some other things. So Jesus was alone. I want you to notice, number two, that Jesus was weak. He was weak. The Bible says in verse number two, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungered. Or he was hungry. I guess he was. Hadn't eaten for 40 days, 40 nights. Some of these teenagers around here takes them 40 minutes, and they're hungry, you know, and they got to eat that often during the day to be full. And so Jesus is hungry. Now, wait a minute. Understand. You say, well, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. But you understand that he was every bit as human as he was God. And he subjected himself to all the physical limitations that go with humanity. So he's like you and me going without food for 40 days. 40 nights. Now, let me tell you, how strong you're going to be. You're going to be weak. And a lot of temptations will come when you and I are weak. Watch out when you get sick. Watch out when you get tired. Watch out when you go through something where your energy is strapped and your resistance is low. Be careful. Satan, you know, folks, here it is. Contrary to what I'm about to, an illustration I'm about to use in the message, Satan is not a legal boxer. He does not fight by rules. He's a street fighter. That's what he is. Okay? So you got to be careful. So he'll come at you when you're alone. He'll come at you when you're weak and when you're tired. That's what he did to Jesus. Now, not in this gospel, not Matthew's gospel, but over in Luke's gospel, the Bible says that after Satan tried to get him to sin three different times, the Bible says, watch it now, that Satan departed, listen to these words, For a season. So just because you have a good day, you're on a business trip, and you have a good day fighting off temptation, and you think to yourself, well, praise God, man, I got through that. The devil showed up, and I had the lust of the flesh even involved in this thing, and I was able to overcome it and get by. You just can't wipe the sweat off your brow and say, I'm glad that's done and over with forever. I don't want to worry about that again. He'll probably be right back on your doorstep the next day. I read a book one time by a man by the name of Steve Farrar. The book is called Point Man. Excellent book for you men to read who are husbands and dads. Point Man. And he talked about, and I think I have my story right, he talked about a business associate or a friend of his who was a businessman, and he had to travel often for work, and he had it nailed down. He would call, if he knew he was going to be in the motel for more than 3 nights, he would call when he made reservations and he'd say, okay, I need the motel room for 4 nights, 5 nights, 2 weeks, whatever he needed. If it was more than 3 nights, he would say, okay, great. You got my name, got my card number. Now, but when I get there, I want the TV taken out of my room. Oh, sir, we can't do that. We have policies. We can't do that. He said, fine. I know another motel room in your area that will want my business for 5 to 10 days, so I'll call them. Well, you know, let me talk to the... All of a sudden, we get real helpful. Now, he traveled enough. He had it figured out. He had it figured out that he could resist his... He could have enough spiritual stamina and strength to hang on for 3 nights. But if he went longer than 3 nights, it started to wear him down. You say, that's a sign of a pretty weak man. I think that's a sign of a pretty realistic, smart man who understands his limitations and deals and tries to prevent things from happening. Now, I'm not saying that temptation doesn't come in the first 3 days of a business trip, but this man had it kind of nailed down. And I'm going to tell you something. You can resist, and you can resist again, and you can resist again. But I'm going to tell you something. Satan's not going to leave you alone. Not going to do it. He departed from Jesus for a season. He's going to be back on your doorstep, on mine, all right? Now, the main truth, that's just 3 things I wanted to bring out. The main truth I want to emphasize, and I'm looking at some folks who've had some real victories in their spiritual life in the last year, year and a half. Real victories. That's exciting to me. Okay? But buddy, you can never assume you've turned the corner. Okay? Now, the main truth I want to emphasize today is how Jesus resisted these temptations. How did he fight them off? Okay? Because, folks, Jesus, understand, not only is he Son of God, he's Son of Man, he is also our example. He is our pattern for life. And so, in this chapter, Christ becomes our pattern for learning how to resist temptation. And by the way, I could preach this morning on how these temptations are reflections of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I could talk about all that. I'm not going to go into all of that. But I want you to know how Jesus resisted temptation here is good for all kinds of temptation. It's good when the devil comes. But guess what? That's not the only kind of temptation you and I face. In fact, sometimes we are quick to blame on Satan what is nothing more than just the desires of our own stinking flesh. Everybody wants, well, the devil made me do it. That was popular some years ago. Remember that? The devil made me. A lot of times it wasn't the devil. It had nothing to do with it. Except for the original sin. But it's just old sin nature. Old, wicked, filthy, vile sin nature. And the lust of our flesh. But what Jesus did is good for facing Satan's temptations. For facing the temptations of the lust of the flesh. It's also good for facing the temptations of the world. Don't kid yourself. This world has a lot of temptation. A lot. So don't kid yourself. But Jesus, what He did here is good for all three. All right, now, let's go through it quickly here. We're going to break it down. Really, I'm headed to the practical part of the message. That's what I want to get to. Look at verse number 3. Here is temptation number 1. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." I'm not even going to go into the whys of this. Okay? Just want you to notice, there's temptation number 1. Jesus' response in verse number 4, "But He answered and said, it is written." Do you see that? It is written. All right, drop down to verse number 5 and 6. In verses 5 and 6, you have temptation number 2. That's all I'm going to say. I've got to move on for time here. You have temptation number 2 in verses 5 and 6. Now I want you to notice the response of Jesus in verse number 7. Jesus said unto him, "It is written." And don't miss that next word. You see it? Again. That's an important word when we get down to point number 2 in just a minute. But what He said, "It is written." Again. Now, in verses 8 and 9, you've got temptation number 3. Satan is just pounding away. All right? And in verse number 10, you've got the response of Jesus one more time. "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." Now, if you were watching, following along carefully there, you saw there were three words that were repeated in every resistance to the temptation. What did Jesus say all three times? "It is written. It is written." Now, every time Jesus said, "It is written," when He said that, He was referring to words that were written in the Old Testament. By the way, score another point for the credibility and the relativity of the Old Testament. Jesus defeated Satan and resisted the temptation of Satan by using the Old Testament years before the New Testament was ever written on this earth. So He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Or could we say, and can't we properly say, that Jesus responded to the temptation of Satan by saying, "The Bible says." You say that, right? The Bible says. The Bible says. Now, for 10 years at Marion Avenue Baptist Church, I had the unbelievable privilege of preaching to bus kids in junior church, and sometimes church kids as well. I did what Brother Don does. I did for 10 years over there. Brother Don's been doing it here longer than I did it there. I did it there for 10 years, every Sunday morning. So, unless Brother Brown was out of town, I had to fill the pulpit for him. I was downstairs in the junior church preaching, had some wonderful helpers there, Pete Schaefer and others. And we did so many fun things. If I preach, a lot of times if I go preach somewhere, they'll say, "Do you want a lapel or do you want a handheld microphone?" I always choose the lapel if it's a decent mic because I preach with my hands. You probably noticed that. There's a reason why I preach with my hands. When you've got 200 to 300 kids, you got to keep their attention. And so for 10 years, and I remember two or three times during that 10-year period, I can remember telling the kids on one Sunday, "Don't miss next Sunday. Next Sunday we're going to have a boxing match between Joe Christian and the devil. And we're going to watch Joe Christian just give it to Satan next Sunday. Man, don't you miss. You be on the bus. Be in your place." We'd get the kids all excited about it. And sure enough, the next Sunday we'd come. There'd be a folding chair in this corner on the little platform there. Folding chair over here. Brother Schaefer would have it all set up. He had a rope tied around those chairs. And he'd be leading the singing. I'd come down from upstairs and to the preaching time of the junior church. And we had a man in the church chosen, dressed up like the devil. And, you know, we always say the devil doesn't wear a red suit and have a forked tail, and, you know, and all that. But we always put the devil in a red suit. we'd have a guy dressed up like the devil with boxing gloves, you know. And then we'd have Joe Christian. And over the Pete would have a bell, you know. And we'd say, "Oh, in this corner over here, from the pit of hell is the devil." And we'd talk about him. And the kids are, ooh, you know, all excited. Then we'd talk about Joe Christian in this corner, you know. And yay. Well, Joe Christian, you know, paint round number 1. And they'd go out there and start fighting. And the devil would just lick Joe Christian. Just lick him. I mean, just leaking. Bell to ring. We go back, you know, what am I? I get the microphone. What are we going to do, kids? What are we going to do, man? Oh, Joe Christian's, he's just getting the snot beat out of him. What are we going to do? You say, you didn't say that to kids. Oh, sure I did. Sure I did. Sure. They didn't enjoy that. It's adults who get offended at that, but kids love it. So, sure. So, what are we going to do here? He said, yeah, I said, I know, not here. So somebody said, here, come in with a great big glass of orange juice. Oh, yeah, orange juice. Good for you, man. Oh, Joe, yeah, I got it now. Ding, ding, ding. Go out there. And I mean, round number two, Satan just lay the lead on that guy. I mean, flop him all over the ring. You know, the bell ring. He go back to the corner. What are we going to do, kids? What are we going to do? Joe's getting beat up. What are we going to do here? And so here come out here somebody with a big old bag full of vitamins. Oh, yeah, this is it. Good, vitamins. And so down the vitamins, down the hatch, the vitamins would go. Round number three, here we go. Joe, same scenario. Whapped him all, Satan naps him all over the ring. Round number four, what are we going to do? Here comes somebody with a big old spoonful of honey. Just a big old, I'm serious, this big old spoon. Got the jar reaching there with a big old spoon. Put it in the mouth. And boy, yeah, that's it. You know, and he's going. He goes out there, he gets licked. I mean, and then what are we going to do? And somebody, we find an old Bible. You usually could find an old Bible laying around the church somewhere. We find an old Bible. I mean, the cover half torn off, you know. And somebody would say, how about this? And I'd say, what, the Bible? Kids, do you think the Bible can help Joe Christian defeat Satan? Yeah, they get all excited. And so we give Joe Christian the Bible. Ding, ding. He'd go out there and he would just beat Satan over the head with that thing. Boom, boom, boom. Beat him and beat him and beat him until finally the devil ran out of the room. And it took 10 minutes to calm the bedlam down. Amen. After all that was over. Now, all that was just a silly children's age illustration or visual age to teach them that Satan is defeated by the Word of God. I don't have a boxing ring up here this morning. I don't have a guy dressed up like Satan. I don't have a guy dressed up like Joe Christian. And we don't have any honey or vitamins or orange juice. But I'm telling you, the truth of that thing is just as real as it was back then. This is how you resist the devil right here. He can't take this. Ephesians 6:17, don't turn to it. You know the story about the whole armor of God. It says, and take the sword of the Spirit after you get all dressed. Now listen to that. We sometimes get all worked up about the armor, and it's important. And God even said, put on the whole armor of God. Don't leave anything off. But after all the pieces of armor were talked about, He said what? And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you put the armor on, leave your Bible out of your life, you're not going to defeat Satan very much. Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you realize, friend, that besides this being an instruction manual, beside this being a compass, beside this being a roadmap for life, do you understand that this book right here is also a weapon? You understand that? This is a weapon. Okay? Now, this is a weapon. The Bible says, sharper than a two-edged sword. And Jesus reached back into the Old Testament and lifted out some Scripture when Satan said, do this, and Jesus said, it is written. We'll do this, it is written. We'll do this, it is written. Wham! Three times. Reaches back and grabs the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, here's how it works. You cannot reason with Satan. You have to watch that. You will lose every time. Here's how it works. You are somewhere alone, and there is money lying on a counter, or there is money lying somewhere else, maybe on a countertop, or maybe a young person sees some dollar bills sticking out of mom's purse or something, and the temptation to take the money comes. And take it. Come on, man, take it. It's not that much, and nobody's going to miss it. And just take it. Go ahead. And you say to yourself, no, my dad taught me not to steal. Your dad, why, he's not even here. He's at work. Why, he'll never know. He won't find out. Besides, if you take that money, you're not going to have to ask him for money for an ice cream cone. Just take it. You won't have to ask him. That'll be a help. And no, it's just not right. Who says it's not right? And here you go. Hey, people do it all the time. Everybody does it. But if you will, at the moment of temptation to take something that's not yours, be it money or whatever it is, if at the moment of temptation to take something that's not yours, you'll forget all that other stuff and just say, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. I'm not promising that you won't have any trouble with Satan after that, but I'm going to tell you something. He'll take a licking with that. He'll take a licking with that. Because that's what Jesus did. He reached back in the Old Testament. By the way, I just chose stealing. It could be anything. It could be the temptation to lust. It could be the temptation to let yourself get involved with another person who's not your wife or your husband. It could be any kind of temptation. It could be a temptation to lie, to benefit yourself at work. Cut a corner. I can't tell a lie. I can't do that. I can't cheat on this timesheet. I don't want to do that. Rather than go through all that stuff, just say, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, I'm not saying he's going to leave us alone, but I'm saying he'll take a licking with that. Because he can't take the word of God. How do you know he can't? Because that's how Jesus resisted him. Now, let me give you just two or three thoughts on this. Using the Bible, the weapon of God's word, will help us defeat the temptations of Satan and the other temptations of life. Okay? So let me just give you a couple, three thoughts on this. We'll wrap her up and go to the house. Number one, we must know what is written. We must know what is written. You know, we have to learn what the Bible says if we're going to be able to use it. Look, this is no reflection on anybody. It may be how you were reared. But Bob Mace, who's in heaven now, some years ago gave me a Winchester 308. I think a Winchester 308 Magnum big game rifle. Nice rifle. Got a Leopold scope on it. It's a nice rifle. If I was to bring that gun into the church building this morning, it would probably make some people nervous. My wife heard this week on the radio, she was coming in from somewhere, they were talking about some child care place somewhere, and this woman went to pick her child up, and the little boy was in a timeout. And so the mother just was, why is my son in a timeout? What did he do? He said, guns. And they put him in a timeout. I think you ought to own a gun. I think you ought to buy a gun. I think you ought to have a FOID card. I think your home ought to be protected by a gun. That's ridiculous. If I brought that gun up here on the platform this morning and just called and said, well, say we're in class warfare out here, man. We've got to do something to defend ourselves. Brother, here's a weapon for you to defend yourself. Some of you men would be uneasy with that because you don't know how to use that gun. Not a bad word. I'm not down on you. Just you never were taught. You know, what good is a weapon if you don't know how to use it? You've got to be trained. How to use a weapon. Now, this book right here is our weapon against temptation. So I've got to know my weapon. So I need to develop a working knowledge of the Word of God. Okay? Now, understand this. When you are in church, and when you are in Sunday school, and when you are in some kind of class or chapel, or when you're having your devotions, or when you're listening to some CD on the radio, the tape player in the car, and somebody is preaching or teaching the Word of God. Now, hear this. It may not be relative to something you are going through at that moment. But if what is being preached or taught can register in your mind, you can learn something about the Bible from that message or that devotion or that class. You have benefited yourself. You have learned something about your weapon that you may be able to use down the road. I'll tell you, if we passed out an elementary Bible test in the room this morning, had Bibles closed, no open note test, and made it an elementary test, you'd be surprised. Unfortunately surprised at how limited the Bible knowledge is, even in good churches like this one. I just can't get over the. I don't know what to say. I hate myself because I get in these situations where I face temptation. It seems like I try to resist. I just try to gather up all the strength. The power, the weapon is not in your strength. The weapon is in that book right there. Y'all understand that? So we got to know what is written. Mercy days. Number two, we must know what is written in all of it. You say, oh my goodness. There's 66 books. I know. You know what this means? This means this is a lifelong process. Who's been saved the longest in this auditorium? I don't know. Who knows? Some of you folks have been saved maybe 50 years, maybe 60 years. I'll promise you, whoever's been saved the longest in this room, they haven't mastered this book yet. R.G. Lee preached for 70 years. He died at 91, 92. He preached for 70 years. Preached. And they came to R.G. Lee at the end of his life, 90-something, and said, guess you've just about exhausted this book, Brother Lee. And in his old southern Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee drawl, he said, I haven't even scratched the surface. And that's true. But you and I can pick up bits and pieces of what it says. Now listen to me. I said to you in temptation number 2, in verse number 7, there's a little important word here. The word again. Do you see that? All right, in temptation number 2, I want you to look at it in verse number 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for, look what the next three words are. It is written. And then he says, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Do you understand that the Bible tells us that Satan tempted Jesus by quoting the Bible to him? And he quoted Psalm chapter 91, verses 11 and 12. Satan tempted Christ by quoting him the Bible. Now, that is a promise. Watch it. In Psalm 91, 11 and 12, that's a promise that God will protect those who are living and serving in His will. And so Jesus said, no, you're not going to get me with that. He said, it is written, what's the next word? Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus, you know what Psalm 91:12 says. 91:11 and 12 say, man, if you'll throw yourself off the angels. And Jesus said, I also know what's written again. I know what's written in another place. I know what the Bible says somewhere else. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, that's a promise of protection for those who are serving in the will of God. How many of you believe that God protects you in some measure or way? I do too. So that means we can just go out this afternoon, find over here on Highway 50 by Highway 50 to the railroad tracks, and when the Amtrak train comes by, we can just jump on the track and God's going to reach down and snatch us right up. Right? No, that train's going to smash you flat. What happened? God promised. Well, you probably wouldn't be around to ask that question, would you? What is that called? That's called taking a scripture and twisting it. That's called taking a scripture and taking it out of its context and using it to say what you want it to say. Do you understand that every false religion is based upon some Bible verse that has been taken out of context and twisted? That's why it's good for you and me to know everything that the Bible says in all places. Watch it so that we can compare Scripture with Scripture. Let me throw one at you. So here you are. You're around, you know, and here comes Satan. And maybe you're in a place somewhere by yourself or with a large group. And they're serving some beverages, alcoholic beverages. Go ahead and have one. Go ahead, have one, man. Have a little drink. Toss one down with the boys. Well, you know, Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's infirmity's sake, and even Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding in Cana. Yes, the Bible says that. Also, have done study on all that that means, and there's absolutely no way under God's heaven that Jesus ever turned that stuff into alcoholic beverage. And second of all, if I didn't know that, I know what the Bible says. It is written again in Proverbs 20 and verse 1 that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And in Proverbs 23, it says, look not upon the wine when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Don't even look at it. If I'm not supposed to look at it, how am I supposed to drink it? With my eyes closed. You understand what I'm saying? I teach these guys in homiletics class. You know, there are some scriptures that when you read them, you scratch your head and go, man, we believe once saved, always saved. But does that scripture in Matthew 24 says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You really got to endure to the end to keep your salvation? Listen to me. You don't have to know that that chapter is talking about the tribulation period. You don't have to know all that if you know that countless other verses in the Bible teach us that once you get saved, you're saved forever. Look, you may not know what that one verse in Matthew 24 means, but you know what John 3:15 and John 3:16 and John 3:36 and John 14 and John 10 and all these other scriptures say. There are so many scriptures that tell me I can't lose my salvation. I may not understand that one verse, but I'm not going to throw away the 25 that I do understand. That makes sense to y'all? That's what Jesus is saying here. Yes, Satan, I understand what Psalm 91, 11, and 12 says, but you're taking it out of context. It's written again. It's written in another place. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know what Satan did? He shut up. So that's why, friend, I'm saying every time you have the opportunity to sit in a service like this, tonight, next Sunday, the Sunday after that, if you're newly saved or if you've been saved for 60 years, any time you have a chance to sit with open Bible and hear something, you have the opportunity to learn just a little bit more about that book. I have not served in the military, but I would assume some of you guys who've had weapons training in the military, I would assume that your weapons instructor, you know, you're there, you're hitting pretty good, pow, pow, you're hitting pretty good, and your weapons instructor may come by and he may say, hold your elbow up just a little higher. That's why even though I've been successful in killing a few animals with my bow and arrow, I still like to watch technique videos. Because you can learn one little thing about correcting the way you hold the bow or the arrow. One little thing about how you anchor that can change the arrow flight over and over. You can hit more accurately. And every time you have the opportunity to sit in a church service or a Sunday school class with an open Bible, it's an opportunity to just raise your elbow up a little bit. Oh, turn this just a tad. You get more and more familiar with your weapon. Every time you miss out on a service, you're missing weapons training. I bring my Bible to church every time I could get here. I love to look out. And you don't have to take notes, but I think it helps. I think you can overnote. I think if you're miss everything. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't hurt to make a few notes as you go along because, friend, it's just weapons training. We must know what is written. We must know what is written in all of it. And then I'll be done with this. We've got to quit. Number three, we need it written in our hearts. We need it written in our hearts. Isn't that what Psalm 119:11 says? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So I need it written in my heart. How do I get the word of God? Well, you memorize, yes, but let me tell you something else. I wish I had time for that. I wish that took too long. Rats. Because I really wanted to develop this a little bit. I don't have time. 2 Corinthians 3, don't turn to it. Remember when Moses was on that mount in the Old Testament and God handed him two tablets of stone? Remember that? Remember on the stone was written with the finger the Word of God? And Paul said, you don't need tablet of stone with the words from the finger of God written on it. Because in this age, the Holy Spirit takes His finger and He writes the Word of God on the fleshly tables of our heart. You see, friend, the bigger question is not, are you in your Bible? The bigger question is your Bible in you? Isn't that true? And I'm going to tell you, man, if you'll ask, it's what I said in my prayer to the Lord this morning. I didn't even think about it till now. David did say, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. But you know what, friend? How you bring your heart to church. I'm not talking about that muscle that pumps blood through your circulatory system. I'm talking about your spirit, your mind, your tender attitude. The attitude that you bring to a church service saying, Spirit of God, teach me something this morning. And the Spirit of God takes His finger and writes the principles of God's Word in your heart. So that when you are tempted to engage in some kind of stupidity with somebody from that you're not married to, there's something in your heart that says, thou shalt not. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Husbands, love your wife. Wives, love your own husbands. It's written down there. It's written in your heart. You don't have to run to a verse and look it up. But where can I find it? Where can I find it? Because the Spirit of God took the Word of God and wrote it on your heart. Everywhere you go, it's with you. That's how you overcome temptation. It needs to be written in our hearts. This is how you resist temptation. Friends, a perfect pattern for every child of God in this room. We need to know what is written. We need to know what is written in all of it. And ultimately, we need it written on our hearts. Our hearts. Because Satan's going to show up. He may show up tomorrow. He may show up this afternoon. He may show up on Wednesday. He's going to show up. And even if you get the best of Him this time through the Word of God, you just depend on it. He's going to come back around again. He ain't going to quit until this thing is all over. It's the bottom line. Because the most important thing, you can't even begin to resist temptation, resist Satan, without first being saved. Saved. And I said earlier in the service today, the salvation is not in a ritual or some ceremony from some church. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you start resisting Satan as he did. It is written. It is written. It is written. Amen? That's very simple. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for listening. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me just start off real quickly now asking a couple of questions. How many would say, Pastor, I heard the message this morning. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Something that was said, I need to apply that to my life, because yes, temptation does come. So pray for me. I needed it. I learned something I need to be reminded of. Pray for me. The Spirit of God spoke to me this morning. I see your hand, please, all over the room today. Thank you so much for that. God bless you. Amen. Now let me ask a couple other questions. Let's do this. Who would say this morning, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, heaven is my home. I know it. I'm headed that way, and I know it for a Bible reason. I'm saved, and I know it. Could you lift your hand this morning in testimony to that fact? If you know that you're saved today, for a Bible reason, you know that. All right, thank you. You may take your hands down. Is there somebody here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I haven't thought about it, or I have been thinking about it. And, you know, I don't know. I do not know. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved, or I don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand, please? Let me pray for you this morning. Just slip it up. As we wait just a moment, slip it up, take it right back down. I'll just look for a minute, pray for you, and move on. I won't call your name. I won't come to you. I see a small child saying, anybody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right, if you're here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized in deep water since you've been saved. You haven't become obedient to Christ in this matter. You'd like to do that. You'll know more about it. Or Father, Lord, and Believer's Baptism, to be obedient to Christ. Say, Pastor, I need that. That's the next step for me. Pray for me. I need to be obedient to Christ in that matter. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that this morning? God bless you. Now, if you're ready to obey the Lord in that, you come right away this morning. If we start the invitation, we're all set for you. If you don't know about it, you come. Let these men talk to you about this matter of baptism. But let me encourage you. It is written. It is written. All right? It is written. Got a whole weapon there in your lap. to fight against the Satan, fight against the devil with. Father, would you please take the words been spoken from our mouth this morning, anoint them, bless them, touch them, and help them, Lord, to be a blessing to other people. May our hearts be encouraged in our fight against the devil. Help us to fight the good fight of faith and to resist temptation through the written Word of God. Help us to get it in our hearts, Lord, so that it's with us everywhere we go. And we'll thank you for it. Bless anybody in this room that's not saved, and Lord, bless any that need to be baptized to be obedient to Christ. We'll be thankful for that this morning. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. If you need to be saved, now's the time for you to come. If you need to be baptized, now's the time to do it. Father, Lord, you come. Come now while we wait. While we wait this morning, you come. While we wait. You raise your hand. This is what I need to fight temptation. I need to know my Bible. I need to get it in my heart. Now's the time to come. You come this morning. While we wait. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, we have the invitation. Come while we wait. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.